Narayana Namaskrityam Naram Seva Narutamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashta Prayesa Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevayam Bhagavati Ruttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtikir Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, entitled The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, Text 23. It's not a verse in the series that we have been doing, because today is Vijayadashmi, so we'll speak a little bit on that. Therefore, this verse is different from the one that we've been doing on a regular basis.
Evam kshipam dhanusi sanditam utsa sarja Evam kshipam dhanusi sanditam utsa sarja Banam savadram iva tadridayam bivedam Banam savajrami vatadridayam bivedam. Sosrigvamanda samukhe nyapatadvimanad. Sosrigvamanda samukhe nyapatadvimanad. Daheti jalpati jane sukriti variktam Daheti jalpati jane sukriti variktam Evam kshipam dhanusi sanditam utsa sarjam Banam savajram iva tadridayam bibedam Sosrigvamanda samukhe nyapatadvimanad Daheti jalpati jane sukriti variktam
Anybody else?
Evam, in this way, Kshipan, chastising Ravana, Dhanusi, on the bow, Sanditam, fixed an arrow, Utsasarjam, released toward him, Banam, the arrow, Saham, that arrow, Vajramiva, like a thunderbolt, Tat Hridayam, the heart of Ravana, Bibedam, pierced, Saham, he, Ravana, Asrik, blood, Vaman, vomiting, Dashamukhe, through the 10 mouths, Nyapatat, fell down, Vimanat, from his airplane, Ha ha, alas, what happened? Iti, thus, Jalpati, roaring, Jane, when all the people present there, Sukriti Ivam, like a pious man, Riktam, when the result of his pious activities are finished. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planet when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, text 21, it is said, Kshine punya marche loka vishanti. When the results of their pious activities are exhausted, those who have enjoyed in the heavenly planets fall again to earth. The fruitive activities of this material world are such that whether one acts piously or impiously, one must remain within the material world according to different conditions. For neither pious nor impious actions can relieve one from Maya's clutches of repeated birth and death. Somehow or other, Ravana was raised to an exalted position as the king of a great kingdom with all material opulences. But because of his sinful act of kidnapping Mother Sita, all the results of his pious activities were destroyed. If one offends an exalted personality, especially the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one certainly becomes most abominable. Bereft of the results of pious activities, one must fall down like Ravana and other demons. It is therefore advised that one transcend both pious and impious activities and remain in the pure state of freedom from all designations. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam. When one is fixed in devotional service, he is above the material platform. On the material platform there are higher and lower positions. But when one is above the material platform, he is always fixed in a spiritual position. Sargunan samatityetan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. Ravana, or those like him, may be very powerful and opulent in this material world, but theirs is not a secure position, because after all, they are bound by the result of their karma. Karmana Devanitrena. We should not forget that we are completely dependent on the laws of nature. Prakrite Kriyamanani Gune Karmani Sarvasa. Ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the 3 modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, text 27. One should not be proud of one's exalted position and act like Ravana, thinking oneself independent of material nature's laws.
Om Ajnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Dalita Shri Vishakhan Vitangscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacham Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaham Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare I'll read the translation one more time.
After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana and released the arrow which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened, what has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell down from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Hare Krishna. So I'd like to seek the blessings of His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Bhagat Maharaj and other exalted Vaishnavas in the assembly today. Before speaking anything on this verse or discussing about today's occasion, it's a very auspicious day, Sri Ram Vijay Dashami, or the day when Lord Ram had defeated Ravana. We see here, we are all very familiar with the Ramayana, especially after it was serialized in the media in the 1990s. The Ramayana was serialized, and so everyone is quite familiar with the story of Lord Ram. In the Bhagavatam, Sukadev Goswami, he only speaks about Lord Ram and the Ramayana in about 2 chapters. So it was also well known at that time. So he's just giving a very brief summary of the various activities of Lord Ramachandra. Here we see in today's verse that Lord Ram ends Ravana's life. Ravana was thinking he is the controller. He was so powerful, he thought that no one can control him. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, if one wants to go to heavenly planets, one has to worship particular demigods. Yanti deva vrita devan. Pitrin yanti prithivata. But Ravana, he was thinking, why should people worship demigods? If you want to go to the heavenly planets, then I will build a staircase. And so Ravana had attempted to build a staircase to the heavenly planets because he said, no need to worship demigods. I can build you a staircase, you just climb the staircase and go to the heavenly planets. So this is Ravana's mentality. He was thinking, I am in control. I am the master of material nature. But as Srila Prabhupada is explaining here, that is not the case. Whoever is in this material world is under the control of the modes of material nature. Doesn't matter how powerful. Ravana was very, very powerful. He was such a powerful demon. But still, he couldn't understand that he is under the control of the modes of material nature. Srila Prabhupada gives an example of the police force
the modes of material nature are like the police force. Ideally, police are meant to help. Right? If you get lost, like I was in the UK, you know, and some people, they get lost, they can go to a police officer and say, can we get the directions to such and such a place, and the police are supposed to show and help. Right? So usually they're there, you know, if the car breaks down on the road, then the police come and they kind of help with the rescue. Right? But if one becomes a criminal, then the same police force, instead of being a helpful force, one has to come under their control. So the modes of material nature are like that police force. Srila Prabhupada explains. Says they're like the police force. We ideally are not meant to come under the control of the modes of material nature. Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he explains, he has many energies and he explains two energies. He explains about the material inferior energy. Bhumi rapa nalo vayu kham mano buddhir evacha ahankara iti yame bhina prakritir astada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego, all together these constitute my separated material energies. And then he says, aparyam itastvanyam prakrite vidime param jiva bhuta maho bah yayedam dharyate jagat. But apart from this material energy, there is a superior energy which consists of the living entities. So, constitutionally, we are not meant to be under the modes of material nature. Just like anyone who is not a criminal, he has nothing to fear from the police. They've not done anything. Police is supposed to help. But as soon as one becomes a criminal, then the police start exerting their influence and power. So, in this material world, we are all criminals, and therefore, the modes of material nature exert their influence upon us. And it's very, very difficult to come out from this influence. Devi esha guna mai mama maya duratyaya mamevai prapadyanti mayam etam tarantite. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is extremely difficult to overcome. Lord Krishna himself says this. One cannot, doesn't matter if he's a Ravana. Ravana had his own kingdom, golden kingdom, golden palace in Lanka. He is so rich, so influential. All the demigods, they would serve him. It's mentioned in the Ramayana that all demigods were serving except three: Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva. Apart from these three, all the other demigods were under his control. But Ravana could not realize that he is under control of the modes of material nature. So what is the criminality? We are criminals here. What is our criminality? In the Prema Vivarta, there is a shloka. Krishna bair mukha haya jiva bhoga vancha kare. We have turned our face away from Lord Krishna and are trying to enjoy independently, and this is the criminality. See, Ravana, he was thinking, I am the Lord and I am the enjoyer. He wasn't recognizing that Lord Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the enjoyer. Therefore, Ravana thought, I can do whatever I want. And he said, I can go and kidnap Mother Sita, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, that due to some pious activities, Ravana had ended up with a very powerful kingdom and as a king of that kingdom. Kunti Maharani, in her prayers, she mentions the effects of pious activities. Janmaishwarya Shruta Shibir. Ravana had these. He was born in a high family. He was born in a Brahmin family. He had Janma, he had Aishwarya. His whole home was made of gold. He was highly educated as well, Shruta. And, you know, he had, Shibir means beauty, well, in his own way. You know, if one considers having 10 heads as beautiful. He might have had that, right? So he had, Srila Prabhupada is explaining, he had, so by some pious activities, he had gotten to this level. But then, he thought, I am the enjoyer, therefore I can take anyone's property. And he forcefully kidnapped Mother Sita. He was so proud and arrogant because he had gotten a boon from Lord Brahma that no demigods or demons can kill him. He didn't bother about asking about the other species because he thought those other species are anyway not a threat. Even without the boon, I can defeat them. So with this boon, now I've become invincible. And therefore, we see here in the activities of Lord Ramachandra, he doesn't go with men and big army of soldiers. His soldiers are of a different kind. They are monkeys. Ravana never thought to ask to be also protected from monkeys and human beings. Therefore, Lord Ram, he comes in the form of a human being. This was Ravana's defect. And the same mentality we find here in this material world amongst conditioned souls. Everyone wants to be a Ravana in their own Lankas. Because we all think, I am the enjoyer and I am the controller. But time and again, the reminder is given. There were many, many great kings, many great civilizations, the Egyptian civilization, Roman civilization, Greek, the Japanese, the Chinese, even here in India, you know, the Mohenjo-daros, and so many civilizations came and went. No one could stand the test of time. But yet, because of a conditioned mentality, we think, no, we are enjoyers and we are controllers. And so Ravana was thinking this. He wanted to enjoy Lord Krishna's energies, the Supreme Personality of Godhead's energies, without the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this was running in the family. Ravana, he wanted to enjoy Mother Sita without Lord Ram. And his sister, Surpanakha, she wanted Lord Ram without Mother Sita. Both got into trouble. Vibhishan was the one who had some sense. Therefore he said, no, we want Ram and Sita. So these two demoniac mentalities are always there. People want either to become God, or to enjoy the Lord's energies and His property without the Lord. These two, Srila Prabhupada explains in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, these two mentalities are the root cause of our conditional existence. We are the enjoyer and we are the controller. As soon as we get rid of these two mentalities, then that is a liberated state. Because we understand, Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the controller. Therefore Lord Krishna himself, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhuktaram Yagitapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Vichyati. If we want peace, then one has to understand three things. Number one, Lord Krishna is the ultimate enjoyer of all beneficiary, of all sacrifices and austerities. He is the Lord of all planets and demigods. This is the second thing. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. And thirdly, he is the friend and well-wisher of all living entities. Ravana was the personification of this mentality of I am the enjoyer and I am the controller. This is the root cause of our problems. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhungte Prakriti Jargunan. Here Srila Prabhupada is speaking about pious and impious activities. These pious and impious activities, they are carried out according to our association with the modes of material nature. karanam guna sangasya sad asad yoni janmashu. According to our association with the modes of material nature, then we are getting birth in higher or lower species of life. And therefore, we find that we are troubled. The example Srila Prabhupada gives is that there is a rich man's son. And if he says, no, I want to be my own man, I want to make my own destiny, what need is there? He's already rich. Whatever he needs, the father will provide. Everything of the father is already his. But if the rich man's son says, no, I want to do it on my own, I want to make it on my own, then instead of enjoying, he suffers. In the Bible, there is that famous story of the prodigal son. The son who left his father's home and ended up suffering the whole day. And at night, finally, he realized that my rightful place is with my father. So the same way, a rich man's son, he has everything at his facility, as long as he remains with the father. As soon as he says, I don't want to be with the father and I want to enjoy independently, then he suffers. Then as Bhagavad Gita is explaining, we meet pious and impious species of life. And we have to enjoy or suffer the reactions accordingly. Therefore, we became criminals. Those of us who are here in the material world as conditioned souls, we became criminals because we wanted to leave the home of Lord Krishna and enjoy independently. And instead of enjoying, no matter how powerful we become, and Ravana is the example of this, in amongst the demons, you know, he's the top demon. Hiranyakashipu also was subscribing to the same philosophy as Ravana. And they, time and time again, these reminders come. Even we become very powerful, all the demigods are under our control, still we'll suffer. Will not be happy. But Ravana was not happy. He was full of anxiety. When Prahlad Maharaj had come home from school on one fine day, and his father asked him, Hiranyakashipu asked him, so what did you learn? He said, my dear father, O best of the demons, Asura Varya, I learned that here everyone is full of anxiety. Sada Samudvigna Dhiya. Everyone is full of anxiety. Even Hiranyakashipu himself was full of anxiety. Ravana was full of anxiety. He would send spies. In the Ramayana, it's described by Valmiki. He would send spies to see what are the activities of Lord Ram. And then they would have big, big meetings. And he was so anxious. How is this possible? This mere immortal human being is coming with like a billion monkeys to my kingdom. And he was anxious. What's going to happen? So therefore, we find, instead of enjoying, one actually gets more and more suffering. Ravana, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here in the purport, he misused the facility. He was a very intelligent person, but he misused his intelligence. He thought, I am in control, I am the doer. And therefore, he got into trouble. As we have been reading about Maharaj Amrish, we can see the difference. Maharaj Amrish was also a very powerful king. He had a very big kingdom. Ravana was also a very powerful king, had a very big kingdom. But Ravana was thinking, I am doing this, and Maharaj Amrish was thinking, I am only a servant. You see the difference. And therefore, even though someone as powerful as Durvasa Muni came to Maharaj Amrish's home and attacked him in his home, still Amrish Maharaj was protected by the Sudarshan Chakra. Because he knew, I am not the doer.
Whereas Ravana, even though he was in a fortified palace in the middle of the ocean, he thought, there's no way these monkeys can come here. There's no way. I have built my kingdom in an island so that no one can cross the ocean and come. But they crossed. They built a bridge. Lord Ram, by building the bridge, he showed who is in charge here. It's not Prakriti. Prakriti is in charge for conditioned souls. But for the Lord, Maya Jakshina Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam. Prakriti works under the guidance of the Lord. Therefore, when Lord Ram went on the banks of the ocean had to comply, had to defy the laws of physics. Stones were floating and a bridge was built. This is Lord Ram's power. As for the other incarnations, Lord Ram did not exhibit that much power, but he exhibited by showing that he is in charge. The material nature does as the Lord wills it to do. Whereas with Ravana, he tried so much to defy the laws of nature. But he wasn't successful because he's not powerful like that. No conditioned living entity or no living entity is powerful to control the modes of material nature on their own. But the Lord, he is always in control of material nature. Never is there a time when material nature takes the upper hand. And Ravan couldn't understand this. He thought, I am invincible. So many people had come to him and told him, you can avoid your own death, you can avoid the destruction of Lanka simply by giving back Mother Sita to Lord Ram. His spies had told him, he got angry on the spies. His well-wishers had told him, in fact his own brother Vibhishan had told him that here you are wrong. Please return Mother Sita, otherwise the whole of Lanka, everything you hold dear, everything you hold precious, everything will be finished. Don't be so crazy. But Ravana, he got even more angry. He kicked out Vibhishan. He was anxious. How do I protect my kingdom? And Vibhishan, what did he do? He went to Lord Ram's party. And all anxiety was finished. Sakri Deva Prapannosmi Tavasmi Iti Yachate. Lord Ram, he says, if one even comes once to me and surrenders unto me and says, I am yours, Tavasmi. Abhayam Varada, I give that person courage and fearlessness. And there is no anxiety. No anxiety. So Vibhishan, he was smart. He knew, he was intelligent, what is the right thing. He left his own brother and went to Lord Ram, took shelter of Lord Ram and became fearless. Whereas Ravana, he thought, oh, okay, you know, Vibhishan, I've kicked him out. I have so many demon friends. What are a bunch of monkeys and some mere mortals coming? We'll defeat all of them, no problem. He had all his fortification, he had all his defense strategies, everything was there. And on the other side, what was there? Only monkeys with sticks and stones. But they were under the direct supervision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And simply because of that, Ravana and all his advanced machinery and advanced warfare tactics, everything failed. In fact, Ravana was getting so desperate, he woke his own brother Kumbhakarna from sleep. And when Kumbhakarna woke up, he chastised Ravana severely. He said, why did you wake me up? Ravana said, oh, now I'm in problem, you know, all my sons are dead and my great fighters are dead, so now you have to save me. And Kumbhakarna told him that when you kidnapped Mother Sita, did you ask anyone? You didn't consult anyone when you did that, and now you expect all of us to help you lay down our lives for you
You should have consulted before doing this. So Ravan said, no, no, whatever has happened, now I need a fix. You are my brother, help me out. And therefore Kumkaran said, okay, don't worry, I will finish all this for you. Although Kumkarna told him, this is wrong, he said, no, I will fight for you, don't worry. So Ravana was told time and time again. So many people, even from Lord Ram's side, Sugriva had gone and told, he had attacked Ravana once when Ravana was on the Trikuta mountain and he was observing the preparations for the army that were happening in the valley below. And Sugriva was also on a mountain and he was also observing and he saw Ravana was on the opposite mountain. He flew there, jumped there, hit Ravan, knocked his crown off and told him, hey, you know, you can stop all this. Just give Mother Sita back. And then after that, Angad went. Angad also, he broke off the flag from the top of Ravana's palace, broke off the dome rather, and told Ravana, listen, you still have time, it's not too late. But Ravana did not listen. He was very stubborn. I was saying, no, I am Ravana. So even though people from his own side, people from the other side, so many people, his own wife was also telling him, please don't do this, we'll be destroyed. As Sukadev Goswami then mentions in this chapter further on, after Ravana is killed, his wife is lamenting and she says, you know, we told you so many times, don't do this, now see what the result is. She's holding Ravana on her lap and she's saying all these things. Yeah. That you didn't listen. Because he misused his intelligence, he misused his facility. He was thinking, I am king of Lanka. He had this upadhi, therefore Srila Prabhupada is quoting, Sarvopadhi Vinir Muktam. We have to get rid of all these designations. Especially these designations that continue our thought, I am the enjoyer and I am the controller. You see, all designations are linked to either one of these, or some are even linked to both of these. When we say father, father has dominion over his sons, control of his family. Say husband, the same thing. King, same thing. So many designations, all these are upadhis. Ravana was told, give up your pride. He couldn't give up his pride. Give up your designation that you are the controller. He didn't give that up. He was told, recognize Lord Ram. Although he is in a human form, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just go and surrender. All this will be finished. He didn't do that. He thought, no, I can still make it. When his son Indrajit was killed, he became so angry. He came out on the battlefield and he just wreaked havoc. But then Lord Ram got on top of Hanuman's shoulders and knocked Ravan down on that day. And then he told Ravan, I think you're tired. Let me fight you when you're fresh. You know, otherwise people will say, you know, oh, Ravan was tired and therefore he couldn't fight. He wasn't in his optimal capacity. So he said, you go home. Go home, rest, take some vitamins, you know, go to the gym, come back tomorrow, the next day we'll fight. And Ravan became very, very angry. He was so morose. And the next day he came out again, wreaking havoc. And as Sukadev Goswami is mentioning here, Lord Ram, he spoke very harsh words. He said to Ravana, you are the most abominable of man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. This is Lord Ram speaking. Right? Sukadev Goswami is mentioning, he is chastising Ravana severely. You resemble a dog. For as a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnap my wife Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are the most abominable, sinful and shameless. Therefore today, I whose attempts never fail, shall punish you. Ravana still couldn't understand. It's mentioned in the Ramayana, Lord Ram cut off 100 heads of Ravana. You'd think that Ravana, after losing a couple of heads, you'd think, okay, you know, I think it's time. This is not going, we should end this here. He said, no, he continued. 100 heads were killed, chopped off. Still Ravana wasn't getting the message. And then, as today's verse is describing, Lord Ram then finally ended it with an arrow to Ravana's heart, and Ravana had to vomit blood and die. He was thinking, I am above Prakriti's, nature's laws, but actually he was below. And he didn't recognize Lord Ram as the one being above. Therefore Lord Krishna says, Avajananti ma muda manusim tanumashitam. They see me in a human form and they think, they deride me, fools deride me when I descend in a human form. They do not know that I am the Lord of everything. Param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. And Ravana, although he was seeing Lord Ram, he was still thinking, no, this is a human being, I can handle it. I am Ravana. He wasn't thinking, how can a normal, mere, mortal human being chop off 100 heads of mine? He didn't think. Right? Therefore, we have to give up these designations and approach Lord Ram, approach Lord Krishna. Ata Shri Krishna Madhi na Bhavet Graham Indriye Sevan Mukhehi Jivadav Swayam Eva Spuratyada. We cannot understand Lord Ram or Lord Krishna with our senses. Ravana was proud of his senses. All demons were proud of their body, physical strength, their senses. But Lord Krishna and Lord Ram cannot be understood with our material senses. Only through one sense. As Srila Prabhupada is quoting, that one has to engage the senses in the service of the master of the senses. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. That is called Bhakti. And that starts with Jivan Mukhehi Sevadav. With our tongue, when we chant the holy names of Lord Ram and Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then, through their mercy, through Lord Krishna's mercy, his understanding about him, understanding about spiritual subjects, then gets gradually revealed within the heart. We should not be stubborn as Ravan, up to the last moment, still thinking, yeah, we can make it. You'll see, people still in the hospital, Srila Prabhupada often gives the example, the guy, the patient, he's suffering like anything in the hospital, can't even eat, there's a tube in his mouth. And the visitors come and they ask him, how are you doing? He's like, I'm okay. What okay? You can't even eat. Can't even move. So how are you doing? No, I'm okay. I'm feeling better today. Stubborn. Ravana was also very stubborn. And we can see the end he got. Therefore, time and time again, we read about these pastimes to remind ourselves, yes, we should not think we are in control. We get to see both sides. Ravana was thinking he's in control, lost out. Ambarish Maharaj was thinking Krishna is in control and he won. He won. No one could even harm a hair on his head. Ravana was thinking no one can harm. I am not only that I am Ravana and I am so powerful, but I am in a fortress, an impenetrable fortress in the middle of the ocean. Nothing or no one can come here. Therefore, we should understand, yes, Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the controller, and the best way to approach him is through chanting his holy names, as Maharaj is now teaching here, Japa Ashraya, right? And some of us have gone through it. We know that this is, what is it? When we chant Lord Ram's name, Lord Krishna's name, then we render our supplication to them. to give us shelter, to kill this Raman tendency we have within us. I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. And therefore we pray through the Maha Mantra that, please Lord, engage me in your service. We need to get rid of this, that I am the master. Today is also the appearance day of Madhvacharya. He is a very powerful Vaishnava Acharya. Our line comes in his line, Sri Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So we are an offshoot of the Madhva Sampradaya. He was very, very powerful. He was considered an incarnation or a portion of Vayu, wind god. And he had two other brothers. One was with Lord Ram, Hanuman. He was also the son of Vayu. And the other one was with Lord Krishna, Bhima, or Bhimsen. So Madhvacharya, he was also considered a portion of Lord Vayu. And he was extremely strong, had undefeatable intelligence. And throughout his childhood, he performed many miraculous activities. His father was in debt once, and the debt collector came, and he sat outside the house. He said, I will not eat, drink, anything until I get my money. So he was sitting there and he was protesting and he's saying, I want my money, I want my money. And the father, Madhvacharya's father, he didn't know what to do because there was no money. Right? He couldn't repay the debt. And so Madhvacharya, he went into the kitchen and got some tamarind seeds and went to the collector and gave him the tamarind seeds. And some people say that the tamarind seeds turned into gold. And some people say, no, they remained as seeds. And somehow or other, Madhvacharya, he convinced the collector that he had been paid. So he left with tamarind seeds. Then one time there was a snake that was terrorizing the household area known as Maniman. Madhvacharya was so strong, he crushed the snake's hood with his toe. He just stepped on the snake and crushed it. So he was extremely strong. It's mentioned that when his mother would call him, doesn't matter how far he is, even as far as 2 kilometers, as soon as she would call him, he would fly through the air and come at her feet. Immediately. He would just jump. He was so powerful. And very, very astute. He wanted to take sannyas when he was 8 years old. He would go to his guru, Achyuta Pariksha. And the guru would give him sweets every day. So when he was 8, he told his parents, I want to go to the guru who is giving sweets. And I want to stay with him. I want to take sannyas. And the parents, they were devastated. They said, no, how can this be? You're only 8 years old. And he said, no, I want to take sannyas. So the parents then said, no, you can't go. Right. What will happen to us? Who will take care of us? And so Madhvacharya said, okay, I'll wait for my brother. And the parents were wondering, how will the brother come? Because the parents were very old also. But in any way, somehow or other, at the age of 11, a brother was born to Madhvacharya and Madhvacharya left home. He took sannyas. And after the parents had left, then the brother also took sannyas in the same mutt as Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya, he took sannyas, he got initiated by his guru, and then he started finding fallacies in the guru's words, because the guru was a Mayavadi. And he was explaining Vedanta Sutra in terms of the Mayavad school. And therefore Madhvacharya was finding fault with it. He was like, no, this is not right. This is not how it's supposed to be explained. So he was correcting the guru. The guru got so fried, he said, no, you go away from here. So Madhvacharya left. But later on, after a few years, the guru understood that he was the one who was wrong. And he took initiation from Madhvacharya. So the guru became the disciple. This is how powerful Madhvacharya was. And he was very expert in debate. Even at a very young age, there was like a big debate of all Mayavadi scholars, and one scholar was there challenging everyone, and he challenged openly in the crowd, who can come and debate with me? And when Madhvacharya said he'd do it, everyone was surprised. An 11-year-old boy will challenge such a great scholar. And he defeated him. In this way, he converted many, many, many people, spread Vaishnavism everywhere. And he was also very expert in martial arts. There was one time one of his sannyas disciples was attacked by a tiger. So as the tiger was trying to run away with the sannyas disciple's leg, Madhvacharya, he jumped in between both of them and he pulled the tiger out. And the tiger became so scared, it ran away with the tail between its legs. This was how powerful Madhvacharya was. One time he was taking a bath in the ocean and a big block of chandan floated near him. And then he broke open the chandan and Gopal Diti was found. This is the same Diti in Udupi. Because that's where Madhvacharya was from. His hometown was Udupi. And no one could lift Gopal. Only Madhvacharya could lift. So Madhvacharya lifted him and went and put him in the temple. And in that temple also Madhvacharya has deities of Sita Ram. There was no Lakshman Hanuman, only Sita Ram. These deities, they say, are the same deities that were worshipped by Vivaswan, and they were worshipped in the sun god's dynasty. And it came all the way down to Lord Ram himself. But when Lord Ram came, then he locked up these deities in the cupboard, because, you know, how do you worship Lord Ram when Lord Ram is physically also present in another form there? Right. So he locked up those deities. He said, no one needs to know about this. But then there was one Brahmana in Ayodhya. Lord Ram had gone for a tour, for about a 4-day tour. And when he came back, then Lakshman reported to him, he said, there's this one Brahmana, he is very distressed. So Lord Ram asked the Brahmana, why are you distressed? He said, I only eat after taking your darshan. So you weren't here 4 days, I've not eaten 4 days. And Lord Ram said, no, this is not very good. So he went to the cupboard and he removed the deities of Sitaram and he gave them to this Brahmana and he said, you worship, this Ram is not different from me. So even if I'm outside, you take darshan of this deity and you can eat. So in time, the Brahmana, he gave those deities to Hanuman. After Lord Ram had disappeared from the planet. And Hanuman was worshipping and he gave those deities to Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya was worshipping the same deities that were worshipped for millions of years in the Raghuvamsa. And he also went and met Vyasadeva in Badrikashram. On at least two occasions it's mentioned he met Vyasadeva. So he was very, very powerful. His work was instrumental in chasing away the Mayavad doctrine that was spread throughout India. After Sri Ramanujacharya had come, Madhvacharya then further propounded the Vaishnava truth. And most of Jiva Goswami's works in the Sandarbha is heavily based on Madhvacharya's work. Right? Borrowed a lot from his work. And in this way, he was a personality that pushed Vaishnavism far and wide. It's mentioned he was giving a class on the Aitreya Upanishad, and as he was giving the class, he left his body. And some people say his samadhi is in the Badik Ashram area, and he's still there with Vyasadeva, although we can't see them. So, Shri Vijay Dashmi Mahamotsav Ki Jai, Shri Madhvacharya Avibhav Mahamotsav Ki Jai, Sai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. If anyone has any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for the wonderful class. My question is related to Madhvacharya's pastimes. So we heard the past time that when he went to Vyasadeva and Vyasadeva asked him to write a Tatparya Nirnaya on Mahabharata because there were so many fallacies in various versions of Mahabharata which were spread that time. And then he wrote Tatpara Nirna. So I read that and it appeared to me that throughout the Tatpara Nirna, he has glorified Bhima more than Arjuna or any other Pandava. Bhima is the topmost. I mean, I heard in one lecture also by His Grace Kamal Lochan Prabhu that their philosophy is that you take shelter of Bhima, through Bhima then you get the mercy of Lord. So, but in Bhagavad Gita we read that Krishna says, among the Pandavas I am Dhananjay, Arjuna. So Arjuna is considered the topmost Pandava because he is the combination of both power and wisdom. So how is it that Vyasadeva wrote Mahabharata and in that Mahabharata Arjuna is glorified as the topmost Pandava, and here in Tatpara Nirna, under the direction of Vyasa, he is glorifying Bhima more than any other Pandava.
So that's a technical question for me. If someone has an answer to that, why in the Mahabharata Vyasadeva is glorifying Arjuna as the topmost Pandava, and why in Madhvacharya's Tatpara Nirna Bhima is glorified as the topmost Pandava? Maharaj, would you like to say something?
So what made you come to the conclusion that Bhima is glorified more?
What brings me to the conclusion? I read the commentary by one of the acharya of that line. So
who's the translator of the commentary?
I'll have to see and tell you the name.
Made the translator some inclination towards Bhima and then you can ask the translator.
Thank you, Maharaj. Yeah. We see in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, all the Pandavas are glorified as, right? So this giving preference to one or the other, as Maharaj is saying, you'll have to check the authenticity of that, right? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Amruji, you told about that Rama and Sita deities were worshipped in his own vansh or vikas.
Yes.
So how is it before taking before Rama's birth and means his ancestors used to worship deities of Sita ji and Ramji. How is it? I want just explanation.
Yeah, so he's asking how is it that Lord Ram's family was worshipping Lord Ram even before Lord Ram came. Right? Because Lord Ram is eternal. Ramadi Murti Shukanani Amena Tishtana Navatara Makarod Bhuvaneshikintu. All these incarnations of the Lord, they are eternally present. It is only in certified intervals they come to the material world and perform pastimes. Right? So Lord Ram and Sita, they are eternal. And the family of Lord Ram was worshipping Lord Ram even before Lord Ram in that present Treta Yuga came. Right? So nothing special about it. Yeah. The Lord is just Nanda Maharaj was worshipping Lord Narasimhadev. So these are all eternally present forms. Yeah. And it so happened that Lord Ram's family was worshipping Lord Ram before Lord Ram took an appearance in that family. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Om.